everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's March 2024, and you're listening to episode 384, which is a conversation about how to have an eternal perspective while dealing with the losses of aging. Today's guest is Elizabeth Reynolds Turnage. She is an author, Bible teacher, and life and legacy coach. She offers workshops to help people gather all of the essential documents for end of life and to prepare a practical and spiritual legacy. Elizabeth has written an online feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and her article is called An Eternal Perspective on the Losses of Aging, and you can read it for free at our website, equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. Elizabeth, it's great to have you back on the podcast again.
Thanks, Melanie. Great to be here.
Well, today we have a really, I think, relevant topic for all of us because everybody, no matter your age, we're all aging all the time. And one thing I think is really interesting is I was reading an article recently, I think in the New York Times, just about how even really young girls in their 20s and even teenagers are like obsessed with aging and trying to find like anti-aging serums for their skincare, even though they're not even fully developed yet, like they're still teenagers. So there really is a focus on maybe a fear of aging. We're always aging. And so sometimes we are noticing that time has passed in our lives more than others. I still can't get my mind around teenagers wanting to use anti-aging products, but what are some of the signs, like realistic signs of aging, not ones manufactured by culture?
Yeah, I just had a conversation with my 30-something daughter about that, that people her age are doing, you know, all sorts of cosmetic treatments. And I was a little shocked myself. But, you know, I think more in terms of kind of those maybe, you know, existential moments that that show the passage of time, like a common one would be more physical, like that first gray hair at age 30. It's like, oh no, you know, for people who start graying earlier, or, you know, here's your baby is now driving off to college, or, you know, I recently had a colonoscopy and it's not my first because I'm a little bit older, but, you know, I think it's 50 when your doctor says, okay, it's time for your first colonoscopy, or, you know, learning that, oh, your old high school boyfriend has cancer, you know, those kinds of things. It kind of goes on and on. Early retirement, all of a sudden you're talking to your mom and you realize she doesn't remember things as well as she used to. So those are some of kind of the bigger moments where you go, oh, you know, life is moving forward. I am getting older.
And it's really interesting just because, you know, it's inevitable. We're human. We're all aging. And yet at the same time, I think even for Christians, there is just a struggle about aging. And so how can we have an eternal perspective on time that's different than maybe one that is a very worldly perspective on time? Because honestly, I was actually just listening to a podcast the other day, and a secular one, and this well-known media person had said they had just turned 40. And so they were just thinking, oh, what about the future? Will there be a time where I don't have to age, where I can like put my memories into some cryo bank and not age? So there's just really a different perspective of aging than the one the Bible gives us. So talk to our listeners about that. How would you have a different perspective about time?
Yeah, that's interesting that the person was thinking in terms of storing memories. You know, even there you see this longing, this yearning to live forever. And yet from the world's perspective, aging ends, well, I mean, this is true for all of us. Aging ends in death. Okay, we know that. We don't like to talk about that, but we know that that's the truth. But from the world's perspective, if you have no belief in an afterlife, then that is the end of the story. But from a Christian perspective, from an eternal perspective, we see time very differently. We recognize that we live on God's time. And you know that phrase, we're living on borrowed time. We're not, as Christians, living on borrowed time. And God's time extends well before the beginning of our life and extends into eternity. It comprehends our lives, but it comprehends so much more. And the end of God's time is eternity. God's time leads to eternal glory, where we will be if we have trusted in Christ as our Savior, where we'll live in this, you know, the wholeness and harmony of heaven and the new heavens and new earth. We will worship. We will enjoy God. We will enjoy one another. It's good news to think about an eternal perspective on our lives.
Well, I think it's good because one thing that the Bible tells us is that our time here on this earth as humans is so short. And yet I think, especially in the West, in our culture, we try to lengthen that time that we have. And so I think it's really different how the Bible talks about just the frailty and the fragility of life. And it's, it's just gone. It's like dust, and compared to the emphasis of culture on time. And so one of the things that happens when we get older, and I guess I'm older, so I can say this, is that we have some relational losses. And I think if you talk to now, not just in parenting, but I think if you talk to any parent, and myself would be included, I think it's really, we go through hard times when our kids are younger, but I think all of us would wish we could go back and relive that time, or wished it was longer. We always say that to people, oh, it goes by so fast. So what are some of the different relational losses that we encounter as we get older?
Yeah, I mean, as you're saying, you know, you don't have to be old to experience relational losses that have to do with the passing of time. So there is that, you know, emptiness, or the toddler that used to be so snuggly is now a teenager and maybe a little more snarly, and or just, you know, your people that you work with, that they move on to other jobs and you lose that relationship, some of those workplace friendships. So it happens in every season, but the older you get, the more relational loss you will experience, because people that you love, you know, we all probably know people who are in their 80s or 90s and they've lost their spouse. They've lost their children, even. They've lost their friends to death, or to cognitive decline, or even to moves, because as we get older, often we downsize. And so we move somewhere else, or, some of us who are dealing with aging parents, we have brought our aging parents to live closer to us so that we can help to care for them. But sometimes we don't think about the relational loss that they experience, because they've just moved away from a neighborhood that maybe they lived in for 30 or 40 years. And so all of their friends are gone. They have to make a whole new set of friends, which is a little bit harder when you're older. So it's important for us, as we think of elderly people and as we think about aging, to recognize that there can be a lot of loneliness and isolation that goes along with aging.
So I think sometimes when we get older, there's some existential losses that we feel. I was just meeting with a friend the other day, and she was talking about, she didn't realize how certain older milestone birthdays would have this existential loss feeling to it, even in thinking about the passage of time. So what are some of those ways that we encounter that as we see time passing us by?
Yeah, like, again, back to that sense of, back to that child going off to college or moving away to join the military, or taking their first job, and we're no longer, you know, I'm no longer Robert's mom or Mary Elizabeth's mom, you know, as I was when she was in high school. And it's, you know, I've lost that identity. I've lost that connection to who I am, because I that went with kind of a role. And so the same thing is always happening as we get older. Again, it just becomes maybe more emphatic. So when people retire, there's this whole identity struggle. Who am I if I'm not able to do the job that I've done for the last 30, 40, 50 years, depending on how old people are when they retire? Or even for those who have been, you know, busy for the Lord and super, you know, they did all the things at church, and then maybe frailty comes with age and they aren't able to be as productive as they once were. There can be questions of, who am I? And, you know, what is my value? What is my worth? Those things that kind of come along with roles that we play. And yeah, and like you say, you know, when we turn those milestone birthdays, it's like, oh, you know, is all of that gone? All of that that I used to do and that I used to be, who am I now, are the questions that we can ask and struggle with as we age.
If you have missed it, you might not know that last year we took our print magazine, which had an incarnation of more than 45 years. And if you've been subscribing, we thank you for your generous partnership with us. But now the Christian Research Journal is still continuing, except we're continuing online, and all of our content is absolutely free to everyone. No subscription required, no paywall. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but a couple of well-known magazines have gone to online-only subscriptions, except for you have to pay for their content. You don't have to pay for any of our content. And that means really tens of thousands of free journal articles spanning back more than almost 45 years are completely available to you. And so you might want to take advantage of that by going to our website, equip.org. In addition, did you know that we started at the beginning of this year in 2024, a brand new podcast called Christian Research Journal Reads, which are Christian Research Journal articles, and there are audio versions of those articles. So this podcast, you can hear me talk to our different authors about their articles. And on that podcast, you can actually hear the article read to you. So if you're not already subscribing, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, please subscribe to Christian Research Journal Reads. And there's, I think, more than 10 episodes on there right now. And we hope to bring you a new article read to you each week. Now, we do want to thank you so much if in the past, as I said, you subscribe, but even if you haven't, we would be really grateful if you would continue to partner with us and give us a tip for all of this free content that you're getting. You can easily do that at equip.org. If you hit journal and you click on the Postmodern Realities podcast, you will find at any landing page, you will see that there's a link to give us a tip. And we really appreciate that, because we continue to bring you all of these great podcast episodes, both on the Postmodern Realities podcast and now on Christian Research Journal Reads. And so something small like $5, $10, $15, everything helps. And we are grateful for your financial partnership and your prayers. And if you would like to just give us the gift of your time, what really helps us out on the internet is, of course, helping us out with the algorithm. And that means to write us a review or a rating, specifically on Apple Podcasts, because that's where most of the comments are aggregated there. You will help other people find our podcast if you go there and you write us a review. It just takes a few minutes of your time, but we'd be very grateful. And now back to my conversation with today's guest, Elizabeth Turnage, on having an eternal perspective on the losses of aging. So you're just talking about just some of the questions that people start asking themselves about who they are and their purpose. And I don't know if it's a cliche of middle life crisis, or if that's such a thing. I think everyone, as they get older, just thinks about purpose and maybe legacy. Maybe those are some of the things people think about. Have I made a difference in this world? But not only that, I think you know, you have physical things that kick in as you get older. And it was funny, in the same podcast that I was mentioning earlier, this person had just turned 40 and they're like, well, now things hurt more. And I'm thinking, 40? Wait till you're older than 40. Things will hurt a lot more. Things you didn't realize were issues are issues. So what are some of the physical losses that people typically have for aging? Now, I know there's a lot of, these days, people who are older and even into their 80s and run marathons and do all other kinds of things like that. But there are some physical losses that we didn't expect, and maybe some physical things that we took for granted when we were younger.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I remember before I turned 40, everybody telling me, yeah, the day you turn 40, you're going to need reading glasses. And I mean, it wasn't the day I turned 40, but it is funny how there are certain things that come that you just, you know, it's just part of it, part of the process. And some of those are really minor compared to some, again, it's just the older we get, the more significant some of these physical losses can be. So you think about the person in there. Well, I remember my mom, I think in her late 70s, became less comfortable driving at night because of her vision. And so then when vision loss leads to either, you know, unwillingness to drive or inability to drive, like losing driving privileges, that's a significant loss. Or the, you know, the types of diseases that many Americans will experience, like heart disease or diabetes, some of those come with very significant losses as people age, like loss for somebody with diabetes may have amputations and lose mobility, or we all probably know someone who has some form of dementia. If we don't know someone personally, we know someone who is caring for someone with dementia, whether it be Alzheimer's or one of the many different types of dementia. So, you know, one of the hard things, I'm 61 and I know so many people who are walking either with spouses or parents who have very significant diseases or diagnoses. And it's just, and some of them are long-term, you know, the dementia that is long-term, and it's just heartbreaking for them to see this person that they loved dealing with this type of physical loss. It's just, it really hurts to see that. And then sometimes that's us, you know, my husband's an orthopedist and he does shoulder replacements, and, you know, he has partners who do the knee replacements and the hip replacements. And I've already had two hip replacements, and I'm considered fairly young to have hip replacements, but, you know, that's it. That's part of aging.
And is it just because physical changes happen to people that also, as they get older, that also kind of leads to some of these bigger questions that you were talking about? Why is it that younger folks don't really, is it because they're not really thinking they'll get old? And suddenly when you see these milestones happen, you start having some of those, like you said, existential thoughts about actually being older?
Yeah, I do think that's what happens, Melanie. It's like sometimes it is the milestone, whether it's, you know, turning a certain age, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever. Maybe it's the milestone that makes you realize, oh, wait a minute, you know, I am going to get older. Or for many people, it is a physical loss. And suddenly when we are unable to do something that we were able to do before, and we know, you know, we're never going to do that again. It brings us up against our limits, and we recognize, oh, I am a limited, finite being. And in Western culture that is all about individualism, we don't really like to think that we're limited, finite beings. We struggle with that.
I definitely think we do. And also, like just when I was talking at the top of this podcast about reading the article about teenagers worried about being old and needing, you know, anti-aging wrinkle creams, which again, is so odd. what, you know, what does the world say about being older? Our culture, maybe our culture, like maybe this is true of Western culture, because in some other cultures, being older is revered. There is a sense of different kinds of relationships, and where in America or in other parts of the West, we don't have that maybe respect for older people. So what does the Bible say about some of these losses that we're talking about aging as, you know, as the passage of time goes by?
Yeah, I mean, the Bible is countercultural to those of us in the West who just, you know, we're taught, as you say, culturally, everything says fight aging, you know, prevent it, push it back, don't let it happen to you. The Bible is very honest, sometimes kind of darkly or grimly. So you go to passages like Ecclesiastes 12 that is pretty blunt about physical losses. Like it talks about teeth falling. It's metaphorical, but you can understand all of the things pretty easily. Things like teeth falling out, eyesight dimming, but it also gets into existential losses and relational losses, like the increase of fear, the increase of mourning, the loss of desire. And then, you know, it talks about death. It talks about, you mentioned earlier, we return to dust. And that is why the narrator in Ecclesiastes is saying, remember your creator in the days of your youth, you know, and really remember your creator all the days of your life, because that is where your hope is found. You go to passages like Psalm 71, and that seems to be narrated, perhaps scholars think, by an older preacher who is experiencing some type of ageism. He says, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent, for my enemies speak concerning me, and they're watching for my life. And they're, you know, it's just this idea of him being attacked. So those are just a couple of passages that talk about the losses of aging in the Bible. And we could, you know, we could bring out many more, but as you say, the Bible also talks about revering the aging. We know the fifth commandment talks about honoring your father and mother, that, you know, that you may live long. So the Bible really presents a very holistic picture of both sides of aging, both the harsh realities of it and the hope in the midst of it.
So can you give our listeners some encouragement from scripture about the losses of aging? Because as you said, if you're not older now, whatever you consider older, as time goes by, you will experiencing not just the losses, but just thinking about the losses that are upcoming, whether it's a parent with, oh, now my toddler's going to, you know, kindergarten or something like that, to being the empty nest of seeing children go off to college, or, you know, even after college, move away, far away, and you don't get to see your children as often, something like that. So how does the Bible address some of these losses that we are experiencing? Because, you know, we live in a broken world, so not everything is going to just be the way that God created it to be, and, you know, just not having relational losses like it will someday, like you talked about being in eternity and being together. It's different now. So how does the Bible address those losses?
Well, I love to look at the passage in 2 Corinthians 4 through 5. It, you know, the Apostle Paul is, he talks again very honestly. I just am so thankful that in, you know, in a world where people are telling you, you know, no, you don't have to age, which is really impossible, he's very clear about suffering and loss. And he talks about his own suffering, how he says we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, and on and on. And then because of his own suffering, he can offer us wise counsel. He says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, he says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And that's where our hope is. The truth is, our physical body is deteriorating. In a fallen world, it always will be. And yet, even in the midst of that deterioration, he says the inner self is being renewed. It's shining brighter. And then he moves into this beautiful metaphor that many of us have heard, where he says that our affliction is light and momentary in comparison to the weight of glory. So we imagine this scale, and on one side are just like a handful of pennies. And then on the other is this big old stack of gold bricks. And the pennies are our light suffering, but the gold bricks are the weighty, eternal glory, just this massive amount of eternal glory. They're tumbling over the side. It's so great. And then we can use another measure. This isn't exactly, you know, this is just another way to think about what he says. Think about God's timeline of eternity and glory is spanning the entire length of that timeline. And on that timeline, affliction, suffering has brief, intermittent sectors on that timeline, but glory extends throughout and over and around the entire timeline. And he also says that these light and momentary afflictions are purposeful, that they are shaping us to make us more like Christ, which is just so beautiful. That's the hope when we're feeling, you know, we're just sad because some of those losses, like even like you say, watching our kindergartner go off to kindergarten, it's like, oh, you know, it's so sad not to have my baby at home with me, or, you know, the empty nest. It's, you know, even as we see loss, we see glory growing in us through these afflictions. And that is, I think that's very hopeful.
I do like how you've just kind of laid out what scripture says about the hope of eternal glory. And how can you encourage our listeners to really, you know, cling to that, meditate on that, to change their perspective on aging? Because unfortunately, all the messages that we receive every day in our culture is we need to fight aging. Aging is bad. It's a bad thing. And it's really, you know, there's a very big focus on the external. You talked about the internal. There's a focus on the external, but sometimes there's also a focus on the internal, like, you know, you've got to do certain things to make sure you made your mark on the world or something like that. But how can we really try to flip the script on that and really change our perspective so that we are not feeling losses in such a profound way that we just feel like, oh, my life's over now?
Yeah, I think if we can think in terms of the losses that we've discussed today, if we can, again, apply this lens of the eternal perspective of the fact that God, he knows our days, he rules over our days, he numbers our days, and look at loss from that perspective. Look at loss from the perspective of Christ, who, you know, with relational losses, when we lose someone, whether it is because they moved away or whether it's because they now have dementia and they can't remember our name anymore, or whether they have died, we can grieve. Christ grieved the loss of his friend Lazarus, even though he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. But even as we grieve, we look forward to eternal glory, where we will be reunited with Christ, but we will also be reunited with loved ones. And so we can apply that eternal perspective and know that the day will come when we will live together in the new heavens and the new earth. The same idea goes for our physical bodies. You know, Paul says that they are tents, and Paul was a tent maker. So, you know, he knew that tents were made to be taken down and put up quickly. They're very frail. They're very vulnerable. But even as these outer bodies waste away, we can look forward to the day that we will be at home with the Lord and away from the body. And then we can look forward even more to the day that we will be given resurrection bodies that will be whole, that will never break down again. And I think that is such good news when we're really struggling with aging bodies. We just don't have to buy into all this about, you know, we want to take good care of our bodies because God gave them to us, but we also can navigate all that the culture is telling us about, you know, trying to prevent aging, because we know that one day we're going to live in the bodies, the resurrection bodies that Christ gives us. And I think that's incredibly good news.
So how can Christians really, especially when they go to the big milestones, like now we're empty nesters, so there's more technically time that you didn't have before when you were really investing in just preparing your kids to launch and so forth. How can someone who is in that new phase of life think about how they can serve other people, especially as Christians in the body of Christ? Because I think sometimes people tend to see that as a time where they're, you know, kind of having their midlife crisis, and they don't know where to go, or they don't feel like they have anything to offer before. Like, well, oh, I used to be a mom and I had all these kids at home, and now I don't have them, so I don't have anything to offer anyone or the church.
Yeah, that's such a good question and such an important question. And I would really want people to be asking that question of themselves at every age and stage and get into the habit of it. I was talking to a pastor who's in his 70s the other day, and he posed this question. He said, I would like to see people asking, you know, not so much what have I lost, but what can I do now at, okay, let's say it's, you know, 45 or 50 or however old someone is when their children, you know, leave the nest. Oh, well, what can I do now that I couldn't do when all my children were at home? And again, whether that's, you know, children going off to preschool or kindergarten, what can I do now? And again, and especially as you say, to serve the kingdom, to make disciples, to be fruitful and multiply at every, so we've been talking about losses, but let's, as you say, Melanie, flip the script and let's think about the gains. What do I, now that I'm retired, what do I have time to do? How can I use the gifts that I developed in my years, you know, of working? How can I use those to serve God's kingdom? So, you know, very much always thinking about, how do I glorify God in this stage of my life? What has He given me to do in this stage of my life? And, you know, so that's a helpful question, I think, no matter your age.
That's good. I think sometimes people are waiting to be like, okay, when all my kids are out of the house, then I'll think about this question. But it's good to consider some of those things beforehand. And so how are you, how would you like to help our listeners have that eternal perspective to give them hope for some of these things we've talked about? Because, you know, if we talk about the challenges of these relational losses, or we, you know, go through this existential crisis now that we're in our 40s or 50s or 60s or whatever, and, you know, obviously physical, you are slowing down, like that podcast, the person who was 40, which I don't think is that old, but they're feeling like they're having physical losses in their age. So how can we find hope from having a Christian worldview on some of these things, rather than really kind of embracing or having anxiety about what the world says we should do to deal with some of those losses that we feel?
Yeah, I think we, you know, we as Christians have so much hope, especially, I mean, for everything, but regarding aging, first of all, we know that we're created in the image of God, and we reflect His glorious image in every age, in every stage of our lives. We have been given great purpose to be fruitful and multiply, to increase his glory, to give him glory, to make disciples. And we can do that in so many different ways. Even you know, people, and we know those frail elderly saints who are not able to go and do very much, but they pray and they tell the good news about Jesus to anyone who will stop long enough to listen to them. And, you know, even just by the beauty of their lives, they are reflecting God's glory. So our purpose never runs out as Christians. And that is the really good news that we have. In the midst of maybe moving toward decline or towards limitations. And even in limitations, well, as Christians, we are made to be dependent on Christ. We are made to be dependent on the body of Christ. So we can even embrace limitations that age might bring and know that it helps us to live more fully as God designed us to live. So, you know, even those are just a few things beyond the fact that we have eternity to live our lives. Our lives are not going to end at any certain age, and they're not going to end on the day of our death. They are going to continue in God's eternal glory. And that is one of many reasons we have to have great hope.
I'd like to ask you how having this eternal perspective with hope that you've been talking to us helps Christians to age not just wisely, but also graciously. I think there's the stereotype of the old man in the neighborhood, you know, yelling at children to get off his lawn type of thing, or that people say as you get older, you get grumpier. And so people don't, you know, want to be around older people who are going to be grumpy or mean. So what should Christians do really as they get older to just really be that wise, godly person with just a lot of grace as they interact with people and just have wisdom to offer other people?
Yeah, I think when we have our lives and our identity centered in Christ, then some of those losses that we've been discussing today, which can make people irritable, certainly if you're in chronic pain, it is easy to feel irritable, but we strive, we pray, oh God, you know, help me to be more childlike and more dependent and more humble as I age. Not, you know, this attitude that, you know, that is another one that the world feeds us is, well, you know, when I'm old, I'll wear purple. I can do whatever I want to because I'm old. And that is certainly not the attitude that being a Christian gives us. I love what J.I. Packer said. He wrote a book when he was 88 years old called Finishing Our Course with Joy. And he said that, you know, every day we wake up and we ask God, how do I glorify you today? And when we do that, when that is the question that we wake up with, it doesn't matter if it's a day for some older people where arthritis is so painful that day that they're not going to be moving very much. They can pray, or they can write letters, or they can make phone calls. So, you know, it is really that attitude of wherever you have me today, Lord, please keep shaping me into the image of Christ. And when we have that attitude as we age, we do live humbly and graciously and have a lot to offer to the watching world.
And I do want to say that I think sometimes people, when they get older, think that they don't have anything they can offer others, especially in the church. But because you have lived through different things, I think that you do have things to offer, especially thinking about mentoring people in the church younger than yourselves. And I think that's particularly helpful for kids because sometimes it's good for them to have a godly voice outside of their own parents. So sometimes I don't know if everyone's thought about what that would look like to, you know, volunteer for, you might not have done it for a long time, but maybe you're older and you can volunteer to teach the second grade class at church, Sunday school class or Wednesday evening class or something like that. So, you know, think some things out of the box that you might not have thought of that you can do as service in your own local congregation.
I think that's such a great idea, Melanie. I've heard of churches where they're really working to get the youth and the older population of the church together. And to, you know, one example I heard is for the older population to tell some of their stories to the youth. And what a beautiful picture of what Psalm 78 talks about telling the next generation of the glorious deeds of the Lord. And that's something that we should always be doing, no matter what our age, is passing on the good news about Jesus to the next generation of believers.
And I also think, you know, especially if you're older, even in your own neighborhood, as a way of outreach to those who might not be Christians, is that you can be surrogate grandparents, maybe, for some people. In fact, I was in a social media page for my neighborhood, and there's 1,500 houses in my neighborhood, and some mom specifically posted that she felt so sad because she lives super far away from her own parents and has all these young kids that they wished someone would come to their games besides their parents or their plays. And she literally said, is there any older couple out here who would be willing to, we could adopt them as, you know, surrogate grandparents. So there's all kinds of creative ways, I think, that you can be encouraged and just make new friends and new relationships after you are suffering through maybe other relational losses.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Well, thanks again to Elizabeth for being on our podcast today to help us think about aging in a biblical way. And I finally have a fun question for her. We've got all kinds of interesting holidays that I'm trying to focus on this year as my fun question. And in the month of March, we had National Potato Chip Day. So do you like potato chips? And if you do, is there a specific kind that you like the best?
Oh, I do. I don't let myself eat them very often because my doctor tells me they're not that great for me. But there is, I think it's Kettle Chips, maybe the brand, and they make a backyard barbecue, which when my kids are home, they always like to have some of those. And so, yes, I do sneak some backyard barbecue from time to time.
Well, thanks again for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thanks for having me, Melanie.
You've been listening to episode 384 of the Postmodern Realities podcast. Today's guest was Elizabeth Turnage. She has written an online feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and it is called An Eternal Perspective on the Losses of Aging. And you can read it for free at the website of the Christian Research Institute at equip.org. You won't want to miss out on subscribing to the other podcasts from the Christian Research Institute. We have the Bible Answer Man podcast, which is published Monday through Friday with the best of the week on Saturday. It's hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff and is available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. In addition, Hank has a podcast called Hank Unplugged. Hank takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet. And you won't want to miss out on the brand new podcast from the Christian Research Journal. Christian Research Journal Reads presents audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. It was a print incarnation of almost 45 years. It's now on the web, as you know, with new articles every single week. So you won't want to miss these audio articles of some of our most popular and most accessed articles on our website, equip.org.